So this morning, if you are a guest here at Rush Creek, or you've been catching up over just, you know, kind of in and out the last several weeks, let me kind of bring you up today to where we're at. We're in the middle of a series or a season right now called Unleashed. You see the branding all over the place. You see it up on our stage. You see it on our doors. You'll see it in t-shirts and in on our forums today. What is Unleashed? We've been talking about that Unleashed is an opportunity for us to cooperate with a powerful God. It's an opportunity. We believe the goal of Unleashed is that 100% of us, what would it look like if 100% of our church did something together? If 100% of the people were saying, you know what, I'm in, I want to be part of this. 100% of our people invested, 100% of our people serving, 100% of our people wrestling with God. We believe that Unleashed is going to allow us to do ministry for our generation and generations to come. It's a time in our church we feel like God is calling us to be bold, to step out and literally try to double our kingdom impact over the next few years. We believe that we want to have more missionaries in places than we have currently. We want to expand our children's and our student ministries. We want to have more compassion centers around different parts of our campuses. We know that we need a couple of new campuses to reach into areas and places where currently no one is reaching. We want to take the gospel to places like Asia and places like Africa and places where they still have never heard the name of Jesus. We want to expand our ministry efforts in Moldova and Mexico and in Portland, El Salvador. And so to do that, we know that this is a big vision. And it's something that God is calling us to do together. And so over these last several weeks, this is a two-year time period for us. Now, this next Sunday ends the preaching section of that. We took about 6 weeks to talk about it from stage. And then over the next 2 years, the resources and the commitments and serving and all of that will unroll and unveil and we'll fulfill our commitments and see what God does over these next few years. But as we get closer to next week, which November 12th, next week we've said since the beginning is going to be a commitment Sunday, I wanted to challenge our hearts one more time on something this morning. I want to recognize in the room this morning the tensions, the feelings, the wrestling that we have with God. And I want to celebrate where we're heading. Because guys, I do believe with all my heart, this is an opportunity for us to watch God do something that we cannot do on our own. And I don't know about you guys, but those moments don't happen that often in life. You don't get many opportunities to stand back and go, wow, look what God did. We couldn't have done that. And this is one of those opportunities. And so we've been walking through the book of Acts. And this morning there's a passage. You've got your Bibles, Acts chapter 5. I don't think I've ever publicly preached this passage. It's one of those passages that some of you have heard about it. If you've read through the book of Acts, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that story. But some of you today will be the first time you've ever heard this story. And the reason why it didn't get preached very much is because honestly, it's a little bit shocking. It's one of those that you go, really? That just happened? And yes, it happened. And why did it happen? And what was going on in this story? Remember, this is the story of the New Testament church. These are the group of believers. What happened to the disciples after Jesus was crucified, after he resurrected from the dead and he ascended back to heaven? What happened to those group of disciples? Where'd they go? What did they do? They began the New Testament church. They started the foundings of the church like we know it today. And the disciples and followers begin to meet. Remember, we learned about their DNA in Acts chapter 2. They would send people out. They would send their best people across the different places in the world sharing the gospel. They would give generously to each other. It says that they would meet needs as they came in. They would sell off their stuff and give to each other and take care of each other. They would meet together in one another's homes. They would pray. They would study God's word. They would worship together. They would cry together. They would do life together. This became their family. This became the place where they found a bond and a unity and a fellowship. This is where they wrestled with God and where they were growing spiritually. This was the New Testament church. So in Acts chapter 5, early on in that process, this is one of those times, and this is, we're not asking and unleash for everybody to sell 100% of your stuff and let's go into community living. That's certainly not what we are talking about. But this is kind of what they're doing. They're actually kind of coming close together. They're selling off their stuff and they're meeting one another's needs. They're watching the church grow. And in Acts chapter 5, you get this puzzling story. There's a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira. Say that. Ananias, Sapphira. They sold a piece of property. Not a big deal. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge, and they brought a portion of it, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. So what's going on? They sell this piece of property. They had agreed in their community they were going to take what they sold and give all of it for the early start of this church, and as they were growing and meeting one another's needs, this is what they agreed to do. But what happened is they sold it, and instead, what did they do? They kept back, and they gave a portion. It says they held back some. They gave a portion of it. So Peter comes to Ananias and says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds from the field? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it? After it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you plan this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And when he heard these words, look what happened. Ananias did what? Really? And a great fear came on all those who heard. The young men got up, they wrapped up his body, they carried him out, and they buried him. There was an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter says, tell me, he asked her, did you sell the field for this price? She said, yes, for that price. Peter said to her, why did you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And instantly she, what is it again? Dropped dead at his feet. When the young men came in, found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. I love verse 11. It's the duh passage. A great fear came on the whole church and all those who heard those things. You think? All of a sudden, two people have been following with you, and all of a sudden, something's going on, and man, they drop dead right before you. I'm thinking fear would have been one of the emotions you might have felt. What is going on here? Why is this story here? Scripture, all scripture that's been given to us is for teaching and for correction. What are we to learn from this? Well, the moral of the story is simple, right? Give or die, right? No, that's not really it. That's what you could read into that. But obviously, you can tell from the story, there's more going on, right? This isn't really about money. This isn't about how much they got for the field or what they didn't get from the field. This isn't about anything else with that. This is about attention. This is about a wrestling. This is about an irritability. This is about a lack of trust and faith in Ananias and Sapphira's life. They're wrestling with God. Why in the world would God take their life? Why was it so harsh? I don't know. I'm not God. What I can tell you is it was something that early on in this church that it was so important to get the attention as they were founding the DNA of what kind of church they were going to be. It was so important to grab their attention and not let this half commitment, this just kind of half-heartedness kind of enter in, that it was, is that we were fully committed to this. We said this is what God wants to do and we're going to follow through. He wanted to grab their attention that this is the way that it happened. What do we learn from them? What do we get from Ananias and Sapphira? See, here's the reality. This is a story about trust, security, honesty. As we've walked through the unleashed journey, I mentioned last week, and I want to talk about it again a little bit, we recognize that there's a certain amount of irritability that comes along with this. Anytime you're wrestling with God, remember from day one, what did we say about unleashed? We said, we want you to pray this prayer. God, what? What do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? God, I'm fully surrendered. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But that is such a dangerous prayer. It sounds so good coming out your lips. It sounds so easy to say. But what if God answers? What if God lays on your heart and says, you know what? Okay, let's see if you really believe it. I want you to do this. Oh, but not that. I want you to take all of this. Well, no, I'm not there. Why? Because it reveals some irritability issues in us. It reveals some trust issues. It reveals some places where it rubs us raw. That's part of the spiritual growth process. You can't get to a place. You cannot get to the place of 100% surrender without having some battles and some fighting along the way. You're going to have some irritability. You're going to have some times where you're having to wrestle with God. And this is what is going on here in the story with Ananias and Sapphira. They're wrestling with God. It shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise you that as we've talked about over these 6 weeks, we'll be next week 6 weeks, if we've talked about generosity, as we've talked about financial generosity, we've talked about time, investing our time in serving. That's part of the spiritual growth process. We've talked about investing your talents and treasures in other people. We've talked about that God, even in money, the number one idol in American culture is our finances. It shouldn't surprise you that there's some irritability that goes along with that, some grumpiness. We hear about that, but not just do we hear about it. Can I be honest from your staff's point of view? We experience it. It's not easy for us to just say, okay, God, whatever you want to do, here it is. This is part of the growth process. But it's funny, the things that agitate us are the things that are usually closest to our heart. When I was a little bit heavier than what I am right now, I used to get annoyed when we would get together and start working on sermon series, and we're going to do a sermon series, and this week we're going to preach on physical fitness and health and how your body's the temple of God. And I'm like, yay. I was kind of irritable. I was kind of grumpy. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to deal with that, even though I know truth, but I didn't want to hear it. When I'm struggling with time, when my time is completely taken up, you know the one person I don't want calling my house? Barry Parker. Because Barry Parker is the servant king. And man, he's calling to get you to serve and get you engaged at our campus, right? And man, if my time is taken out, I don't want Barry calling me, because that just means that, man, I got something else that maybe needs to be done. And I'm irritable with my time. When you're overwhelmed, when you're over your head, when life has just gotten to the point where you can hardly make it, what do you not want to do? You don't want to hear about helping other people. You don't want to hear about, man, we need to go and help somebody else, because, man, you're saying, man, I need help. How can I help someone else when I've got these needs? And so when you're financially challenged, when you're financially at margin, when you're pushing against, when there's issues in our heart of trust and security and all of that, what do you not want to hear about? Oh, dear God, don't talk about unleash. Let's not talk about money. Let's not talk about finances. I'd rather talk about anything else. This is part of the process. It's part of the growth process of each of us in the room, because like Ananias and Sapphira, we struggle with the heart issue. 100% engagement, what does it mean? It means that in every area of our life, you can't be 100% engaged and still hold back. That's part of this story. You can't be 100% committed and still holding back. Doesn't mean that God's going to call you to give 100% of your resources. Doesn't mean that God's going to say, sell your home, sell your car, everything, and just give it all. It doesn't mean that God would do that. But would you be willing if he asked? Would you be willing to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do? You cannot be 100% engaged, 100% surrendered to God if there are parts of your life, finances, time, talents, whatever it may be, that you still hold back and go, God, I'll do all of this, but not this. God, I want you in this part of my life, but not in this part of my life. It's not how it works. We're connected. Heart, soul, mind, body, all of this goes together. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit, just in the brief moments we've got, I want to talk about this idea of surrender, this idea that we are surrendered to God, because that's what we asked in Unleashed. We asked that people would get to 100% engaged, 100% of the place where we could surrender to God and say, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. So what do we learn here from the story? First of all, being fully surrendered means that we are honest with God. That's where this starts. No one started by saying, Pastor Scott, let's talk about what you want me to do. Hey, let's see what the church wants me to do. This is a spiritual process. God, what do you want from me? God, what are you asking of me? Simply responding to God. 100% surrender, 100% engagement means that we are honest with God. This is what's happening in the story. They're not, first of all, honest with God. It says Satan filled their heart and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And then Peter reminds them, you've not lied to people, but you've lied to who? You've lied to God. They had already begun the process. They'd already begun the wrestling, the grumpiness in their heart. They begin by lying to God. And so part of the story of Ananias and Sapphira is teaching us the concept, teaching us the principle, is that everything begins with honesty of God. We have to start by being honest with him first. That we basically have surrendered our heart saying, God, if there's anything in me, if there's anything that I hold back, God, if there's any part of me that I'm not being honest about, start there. Show me, God. Reveal to me what I'm supposed to do. And we know this is where they were. They were not honest with God. Our hope through this Unleashed process is that if 100% of our people got to this place, God, I surrender, we'll be the church God wants us to be. The money, the time, the investments, the opportunities to do mission work around the world and in our city, all that will take care of itself. If 100% of our people are fully surrendered to God, saying, God, I'm in, I can promise you, we've never in our history, I don't know, a church, many churches out there that would ever be able to say 100% of their people were saying, God, we are in, surrendered. What would it look like? How would it change our church? How would it change our city? How would it change the way people see our church? The second thing is that to be 100% surrendered, to be fully surrendered, we have to be honest with ourselves. See, what happens is when we begin to lie to God, then we begin to also lie to ourselves. We begin to convince ourselves that we like our version of the truth better. This is what Peter says. Why is it that you've planned this thing in your heart? That's what he asked Ananias. Why have you planned this in your heart? You get the idea this wasn't just a spur-of-the-moment conversation. This wasn't something that just happened on a whim. This is something they had been wrestling with, something they had had a conversation about. And in their mind, they had said, you know what? We don't really have to do this. I know God wants us to do this, but we cannot do that. We can do this. Our way is better. We can take care of our needs. We can take care of ourselves better than God can. We don't need to worry about this. And they began to plan and deceive themselves. They convinced themselves that there was a better way. But God wasn't about their money. It wasn't about how much they got for the field. It was about the fact that they believed that they could do something different than what God had called them to do and be okay with it. They could live their life without God's best for them. And so they began to lie to themselves. That's how it always happens, though, right? We're not, Ananias and Sapphira are not the only one guilty of this, right? I mean, I've certainly been guilty of this where I want to hold back from God. And the moment that I hold back from God, there's this tension, there's this guilt, there's this wrestling with God's spirit. And so what do? To numb the tension, I begin to lie to myself. I begin to tell myself that what I'd rather do is okay. What I'm doing is not a big deal. And I begin to convince myself that what I'm doing is just fine, even though I know what God has wanted me to do. And I know that's the only place where I'll be fully surrendered. This is part of that deceiving process. And then it leads us to the third, is that if we're going to be 100% surrendered, 100% engaged, we have to be honest with others. And so what happens here? Peter asks her about what they sold, and she says, yeah, I sold it for that price. She's admitting here they sold it for the price, but she did not bring all of what they had committed to do. She began to even deceive or hide from them. And guys, understand this. It always happens that way. When you lie to God, you will always be tempted to convince, to deceive and lie to yourselves, and it will eventually always leak out to lie to those around you. You'll try to make it look good. You'll try to tell everybody else that what you're doing is just fine. And this is the wrestling match that's going on. It's about surrender. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to be all in. They wanted the benefit of the whole community. The community had agreed on something together. They wanted the benefit of what the community would give them, but they didn't want to pay the sacrifice that it would take. They wanted all the good stuff, but they didn't want to have to invest. They didn't want to have to give the way everybody else gave. They had a choice to make. Peter clearly says, wasn't it at your disposal when you had the land? Didn't you have a choice to do something with the land? Yes, we made a choice. Weren't you sold the land and you had the profits? Wasn't it a choice that you made? You could have done whatever you wanted, right? You had freedom in the choice. They said, yes, we had freedom. It was at your disposal to do what you wanted. But in this process, as they lied to God and deceived themselves, they couldn't even be honest with those that were there. This is the wrestling match. So Unleashed, right? Next week, November 12th, we will have a commitment Sunday where we come to this place. We'll come and we'll celebrate. We just recently celebrated our advanced commitment night. We celebrated, and 800 of our people came and told the stories, and they worshiped, and we listened to testimony about where people had been wrestling, where people had been in the same journey of Ananias and Sapphira. They've been wrestling. They've been irritable. They've been having conversations. We gave you a tool when we first began talking about Unleashed. If you want to evaluate your schedule and your time, you look at your calendar, right? There's a lot of tools that you have to evaluate commitment. So we gave you a card, a commitment card. And we realized that's one of the first places people bristle up in something like this, because a card is tangible. And if I have to look at it, I have to deal with that reality. And I don't know that I want to wrestle with a card and what is on here. But it's simply a tool to help us in the process. It's a tool to help us evaluate in our financial generosity. God, am I doing all that you've asked me to do? That's all we asked. God, many of us, we come into a place where we've never even ever prayed that prayer. God, would you want me to be a giver? Do you want me to contribute to something like this? I love the fact that we're going to Asia. I love the fact that Jeff and Twee are there. I love the fact that we go to Moldova. I love the fact that we have Compassion Center. I love the fact that we send home 100 or so backpacks every Friday night with kids in our community so that they have food and don't go hungry. I love the fact that we're reaching teenagers and that we're reaching children and that marriages are being saved. I love the fact about our church. And yes, I want to do more, but I've never even thought about whether or not God wanted me to be part of that financially. And so maybe over this process, you've been praying about that. And so that's why we gave you a card to begin to evaluate. It says, what have we done in the past? The very first line, what do I normally give to through the ministries of Rush Creek to allow us to do the mission God's called us to do? And that alone is a wrestling for some of us. Some of us have not done anything, and God has been laying on our heart. We've heard hundreds of stories already of people who have said, we did nothing, and we feel like we want to be part of this. This is a good part of the process. We have others that, oh, every once in a while would give, and then other times they wouldn't, and they just kind of hit and miss. And man, God has begun to work in their heart and put this conviction on their heart that, man, I want to be consistent. I want this to be part of our life. I want to be generous with God. We've got others that are very generous, very faithful givers, that, man, as they're wrestling with this, God has laid on their heart, man, I'm going to stretch you even further than you've ever been. I'm going to stretch you further. I'm going to get you to a place where you may even be uncomfortable with what I'm asking you to give. and they've told the stories. And so next week, we're going to tell some of those stories. And we're going to celebrate. And we're going to ask that this week that you begin to look through that commitment card. If you don't have one, if you took yours and tore it up or took yours and stuffed it in the corner or whatever when we first gave them out, we have booklets all around the room. We have out at our table out in front, out in the foyer area in our Unleashed table. You can go by the hub there and pick up another card and another book. And I would encourage you this week, read through the stories, read through the things that God is doing through this initiative, and just simply pray, God, what do you want me to do? Be honest with God, start there. Be honest with yourself and say, you know what, this is what God has called me to do. This is what we feel comfortable being a part of over the next 2 years to allow this mission to go forward. That's all that we're asking. As you walk through the card, it'll talk about, what do we do? Maybe God has laid on your heart and unleashed because of the vision. I want to do more than we've done before, and you can write that in there. And then there's a place in there that says stored resources, and people begin to ask the question, what is a stored resource? It was funny, over the Unleashed, some of the stories that came out, I was meeting with a family very early on, and they were wrestling. They were like, okay, we are financially tight right now, and we love the vision, and we know that we feel God is telling us to be a part of this, but we don't know how we're going to do it yet, and God's going to have to show us some how to free up some of our income and free up our resources so that we can do it. And one of the families said, hey, one of the ways that we wanted to do it was we had four four-wheelers sitting in their garage. And they said, we hadn't ridden these things in like 3 years. They literally were going to have to be cleaned out to be used again, get all the bad gas and all that out of them. He said, they're just sitting there wasting space. Our kids have gotten older, and we don't ride them anymore. And he said, God just began to lay on our heart, why do we have stuff in our house that's just wasted resource? Why wouldn't we take the things that God has already blessed us with and turn that into resource that could further God's kingdom? And they went out and they cleaned up. They paid a little money to clean up their four-wheelers, and they sold them off. And that's part of their giving to Unleashed. Another family was very similar. They talked about, I can't remember if it was 7 or 8 TVs in their house. They said, we have 7 or 8 TVs in our home, and 2 of us live in our house now. And said, we barely watch 1, if not 2, but not 7 or 8. And they go, I know it's not a lot of money, but for us, it was just the conviction that we've got so much waste in our life. What if God wanted us to honor him through all of our resources? And they said, we're going to sell off some of our TVs, and we're just going to bring those proceeds and make this part because we feel like God could do more with that than we could ever do on our own. We've heard stories about that, about people have wrestled. It's never a bad thing when we sit down and ask God, God, what do we have? How have you blessed us, or how are you going to bless us that we can in turn return this to kingdom giving and kingdom ministry to reach people both here local in our nation and around the world? So one of those families that's wrestling with this is Jeff and Christy Kirkpatrick, one of our Rush Creek families. I want you to take a look at their video as they begin to wrestle over something that had a lot of value in their family. And listen as they still wrestle through this.
I'm Jeff Kirkpatrick, and this is my wife, Christy. And we are been married 23 years, and we have 3 daughters, 19, 16, and 13, Hannah, Emma, and Rebecca. So Christy and I moved to Dallas, back to Dallas from Houston in 2002, and we had visited a number of different churches. We just fell in love with the vision of what was going on here. We loved the idea that small groups were a major part of what was going on at the church. The children's ministry was very strong. We loved Pastor Russ and his teaching, so we decided to make this our home.
I just know that this is where God has us. There's that peace that only God can give you, and I certainly have that about Rush Creek, and we have from the beginning. There was just the peace that this is where we belong. This is home.
When Russ made that, when he gave that message on that day and said, "Hey, I'm looking at starting a campus in Mansfield," I just immediately knew the Spirit just. That was going to be us. Over the years, we've been a part of a number of different initiatives here at Rush Creek as we've gone through seasons and as we've been praying about what God wants us to do through Unleashed and taking into account the thought that, is our giving, is our generosity something that's still challenging us. We have 2 in college. So Christy is finishing up her bachelor's degree at UTA, and then I have a daughter that's just getting started in college. I have another one that will be in college in 2 years, and a third one coming after that. So that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we have at the moment, is that how do we get everybody the education that they need while also continuing to live our lives and do the things we want to do and give and be generous to our church. So I think that was one of the things that we were really struggling with at first, And when we sat down and talked about, okay, well, let's just start with what we want to have happen. Right. So we decided that we wanted to do something we'd never thought about before, which was to put the church in our will. In the process of doing that, we started having discussions about, you know, not everything that we give necessarily has to come from, you know, just our daily budget. In fact, we want to give more than that will allow. And so we started talking about stored resources and other things that we have, and are we using those for God's glory, and could those be things that we give up? Christy and I went on one of our vision trips that we do every year and talking about what's in store for the next year. And I mentioned that one of the things we might do is consider giving away this piece of property that we own. I guess legally it belongs to both of us, but it's really hers. It was something that was given to her, and it's been in her family for a long time. So we started having a dialogue about that, and she immediately said, no, that's not what I want to do.
That is. But through more prayer and more conversation, I realized that there are options that we have that would be able to make that more of a legacy, not only for our kids, but also for my grandmother who gave me that land. I know that if this is what God is leading us to do, then we will, what He can do with it is far outweighs what I could ever imagine doing with this land. I still have a holding on to it a little bit in my heart, but I'm willing to do whatever it is that God wants me to do through a lot of prayer, and we'll just kind of go from there.
As we've been talking about it, I've just really been challenged by the discussion, and really three things have been challenging to me personally. One is, am I giving of my time? Am I giving of my resources in a way that still challenges me? The second one is, am I giving in a way that's leaving a legacy of generosity for my kids? And then the last thing is just, you know, of all the things God's giving me and has given me over the years, am I using them all for His glory?
My challenges are always just within myself because I grew up, we didn't have a whole lot when I grew up. And so I have a tendency to want to hold on to what we have because there's security in that. So to hear Him say that we need to give more, we need to give away what we have, it's not that I don't want others to have it, it's that I want to hold on to it because it makes me feel safe. It makes me feel like I'm not going to go back to that point when I was younger where I was afraid and didn't have anything. So I think the challenge is within myself to realize that when I do unleash it and I do give it to God and let God do with it what He has planned, I will be blessed and I'm going to be okay. My security doesn't lie in things. My security lies in Him.
So as we, I think, put our yes on the altar for God, as whatever He wants us to do, that's what we're going to do. And we see Him reciprocating that back to us. And it's awesome to see God move in that way. But we know that that's not the end goal. The end goal is helping those far from God become contagious followers of Jesus. And so whatever that means for us, but that's the direction we want to move. And so, but however God challenges us over this period of time, we're going to just continue to seek His will and look for the answers that he's putting in our path.
Absolutely.
I love the fact that in their story, there's still a little bit of rawness. They're still not settled as they were praying about it, talking about it. It took a lot of discussions and prayer. They got to a place though where God gave them clarity. God just said, yeah, this is what I want you guys to do. And they were good with it. And they simply said, God, this is what you want. This is what we'll do. So as I mentioned, 2 weeks ago, 800 of our people gathered at the Performing Arts Center, and many of our people said, I'll go first. This is what God's called us to do. We're excited. We're ready to be part and see what God is going to do. And they came and they brought their commitment cards, and we told stories and we worshiped together. And next Sunday, in this place, in all three of our services across all four, actually five of our campuses, we're going to be having a day where we come and we celebrate and we ask our people to step up and make the commitment to join the rest of us and say, you know what? Yes, that's the church we want to be. Yes, this is what God is leading us to do, and we want to be part of that. We want to have our resources and our time and our stories and our efforts. We want it to be a blessing to both our generation and the generations to come. And so next week we celebrate. So this week, here's what we're asking. We want you to get your commitment cards and begin to pray about it. I said that from day one. Nothing would begin or nothing would end in this initiative without prayer. We wanted you to pray, God, what would you have me to do? In fact, We believe it's so important this week that we pray for unity of our church and pray for God's blessing in this initiative and pray for our families as you guys are wrestling with this together. This Friday and Saturday, we have a 24-hour prayer vigil. We're actually going to take 24 hours and call our people to pray. Now, it may be that some of you pray at home, but we're asking for a number of you to actually come up and physically pray here at the building. We want to have 24 hours across all of our campuses where we're praying for what God is going to do. We'll have prayer stations set up. We'll have things on the screen that are prompting you through to fill that hour of time. Maybe that you're prayer walking around in our children's area, our students, things like that. And so over here in the corner today, our next step, there's a board. And after we get done this morning, I'm going to encourage you to come and take an hour slot. We are going to be here. If you're a night owl, we need some night owls to cover that midnight to 6 a.m. slots. And just write your name in there. There may be one person, there may be six people at times. We don't know how many will be here. We'll have at least two people at the building at all times. But we want you to come and we want you to join us and pray together as a unified church. Prayer does that. It unifies. So we want you to do that. We want you to start there. The second thing we ask you to do this week is we want you to have a conversation at home. We want you to talk to your spouses. We want you to talk to your family. We want you to actually have discussion about what is it that God is putting on your heart. How will we participate in this? One of the coolest parts of Advanced Commitment Night was there was this little girl. We're up in the front and we're praying about what we're to do. And as we're getting ready to turn in our card, I look up and this little girl had come up and she didn't understand cards and all that. Parents were bringing the commitment cards of what they were doing over the next couple of years. But she brought a baggie full of change and she laid it up on the stage. Her brother had taken $2 bills, crumpled them up and threw his up there. I don't know if he was happy about it or not. But you know what I knew? I knew they had a conversation. They were teaching their kids about generosity. We did that this morning with many of your children today. We taught about generosity, and many of them brought a sacrifice, a giving today of a toy or something that means something to them. Why? You don't learn generosity naturally, parents. It doesn't come natural to you. In fact, naturally, it's hold on to what is mine and give me more. There's not a kid in the room that doesn't struggle with that at times because there's not a grown-up in the room that doesn't struggle with that at times. And so today is about a releasing of that, an unleashing of that, and allowing God to break us free to benefit others. Something that we learn together. So we want you to discuss it. And then the third thing we want you to do is we want you to commit to follow through. Whatever God has put on your heart, we simply want you to do it. It's that simple. The reality is that when we put everything in God's hands, we experience God's hand in everything. And we're asking you to trust and put your life and your resources in God's hand and trust Him with the rest. I wouldn't ask any of you that I haven't asked of myself. Michelle and I prayed about this. We've talked about this. We've wrestled with this. We went to Advanced Commitment Night. We had a number that we had agreed on. We got to Advanced Commitment Night even and began to hear about what God was doing and listening to the stories, how God was moving in other people's lives. And right before it got to commitment time, she leaned over to me and she goes, "It's not enough." I'm like, dang, okay. Because that's my grumpiness. That's my wrestling in this area. And so we talked there as our prayer time, and we said, okay, God, what do you want us to do? And I trusted that God was speaking to her heart, and we did more than we even planned on doing. So it's not like something we would ever ask anyone to do that we're not willing to do, and we just want you to follow through with what God's asking. I want to be very clear. Do I believe at all that if you don't contribute or give in the unleashed, that God's going to strike you down like Ananias and Sapphira? Absolutely not. I hope not. I don't believe that. But, you know, sometimes there's things worse than death. When we did the unleashed one nights, some of you were here. There was a big power globe. Remember that was on the stage? Some of you saw that? And it was full of electricity. And we thought it'd be funny to kick off that night. They said, "Hey, Scott, what would it look like if you stuck your tongue on the Powerball?" And so we kind of built it up around every night. I'd walk out in the foyer and go, "Ooh, I kind of want to put my tongue on it." People would laugh. And when I got on stage, they were doing it. Well, what you didn't know is that really did happen behind the scenes in our office. One day when the creative idea came up, hey, it'd be really funny if you actually put your tongue on it to see what would happen in front of everybody else. It'd kind of be nervous. And we had to actually test it in our office that day. And so I'm there in my office one day and I'm like, I'm scared to death. What's going to happen? And the guy goes, "What's the worst that's going to happen?" He goes, "Oh yeah, you could die." And I went, "No, that's not the worst thing that can happen. I'm ready to face Jesus. If I die and go to heaven, I'm ready today. Take me now. I'm good to go. The worst thing that can happen is that I stick my tongue on that. It throws me through the wall. I go to the hospital and I have to explain to my wife why I'm an idiot for putting my tongue on an electric Powerball. There are worse things than death. Guys, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes missing out on the thing that God has called you to do, only if God's called you to do it, but missing out when God says, hey, I'm pushing you this way, to reject that or to push it away or to play it safe or secure and do it your own way. Sometimes, man, that life, I think, is worse than death, because you literally begin to die slowly from the inside out. We're asking you to engage with a powerful God this week. We're going to sing and we're going to worship this morning. I believe it's an opportunity for every single one of us to be involved, but I believe it starts with this idea of surrender. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to stand as we begin to get our hearts right and ready, just asking, God, will I surrender? Let's stand. Let's sing these words that you know probably pretty well. So part of our prayer vigil Friday and Saturday is an opportunity to be still. So many times in this culture, we're going so fast that even our prayer times get inundated with other thoughts and other activities. So to be able to surrender means that at times you've just got to sit still before God and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that I would surrender? My time, my talents, my resources, this thing that I hold on to, this junk in my heart. God, where do you call me to surrender? So this morning we thought we would do this. We just wanted to give a few minutes of quietness. So we're going to ask this morning that you go ahead and have a seat. And over the next 2 or 3 minutes, as the guys continue to play, we'll continue to worship in a few minutes. But I don't want you to worry about the person beside you today. This isn't about even husband and wife. This isn't about who came with you today. It's about individual. You may want to kneel at your chair. You can just bow there, your eyes closed. I just want to simply ask this question. God, am I where you want me to be right now in 100% of my life? God, is there any area in my life that I hold back, that I've lied to you or lied to myself or lied to others about, that I'm not transparent, that I'm not fully here? We've said all along, we want to be the kind of people that don't have to pretend when we come to church. We just want to be open with God and others, warts and all. And this morning, maybe that God would give a chance to reveal to our hearts, yes, man, right now you are right where you need to be. Or maybe what about this? What about this area that you protect yourself from over here? What would it look like to let go of that during this season and surrender whatever that would look like? So, Father, these next minutes, speak to us. You are the only one who has the power to know every individual story in this room and speak individually to every person. God, I pray, it's not just about resource, it's about heart. God, help us get to the place where we fully surrender and trust, God, that you love us and that you are enough for us in every area of our life. So, God, in these next minutes, speak and